Thank you all very, very much for joining this journey. I can repeat what Dayaguranga said. Yes, he said it precisely and used a very good word, a journey, a voyage, where we discover things that hopefully leave a permanent impression upon us and also create memories that will help us at certain phases of our own spiritual journey, which most of the time takes place outside a Zoom call and so on. Yes, we are now midway in our journey, and it feels really very, very nice, because I think on the journey we have made some friendships. We have come closer in our hearts to each other, and we have hopefully also made those discoveries which are just now important for us, so that we can think about making the next step. I wanted to just again, for all of those who have been with us and also those who join us today for the first time, present the essential point which needs to be understood for everyone who wants to draw the maximum benefit out of these sessions. In the very beginning, I had said that we have observed that people who practice bhakti sometimes seem to deal with a gap in their life, the gap between what they know or what they have faith in and what they experience. It's not always so glorious what we experience. Then what we hear in the scriptures, the rewards are for practicing this. You will become free from all miseries. You will develop pure and ecstatic, abiding love for Krishna. So some of us may still wait for these results to appear in their lives. And what I wanted to do is, I wanted to try to serve you all by saying, what could be that one point that if you observe it, could really make the difference? That one point is the sacred space, the temple of the heart, the lotus of the heart, the deep internalization of bhakti, and practicing bhakti from that space, not the space of the mind, not the space of mechanic practice, not the space of duty, but the space which is here in the heart where the self and the Lord reside. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says about this space, you, Krishna, exist within your abode in the temple of the heart. I said it wrongly, so let me repeat it. You, Krishna, exist with your abode in the temple of the heart. And you can be met when the door to the entrance has been unlocked or opened by bhakti yoga. What we try to do then during these sessions is to give you first a theoretical understanding, but then a practical access to unlocking that closed door, so that you can enter the place where you can actually meet Krishna, the sacred space in the heart, or the temple of the heart. Sometimes a big iron door, which has been closed for many, many, many years, can be opened by just a small little key. And it is then, when it is open, that you can see what is behind that closed door. So in the same way, we are trying to give you a small little practical key that will open the door to the temple of your own heart. And in this way, you can do everything. So I wanted to say that the key which I would like to offer to all of you with these sessions is a key which can hopefully solve a long-standing problem, that is to bridge over the gap between what we know or what we believe in and what we experience. I wanted to say that when you need to unlock a door so that you can really enter the temple of bhakti. If you have not been able to unlock the door, you stand before that temple and your experience remains that of an outsider, an observer of bhakti who does not yet experience or feel the bhakti. Good. The last time when we came together, we talked about the item Naam Kirtan, and I offered you a key which we have been practicing for a long time. I have with me a few guests in our little ashram, and one of them, a school director, makes extremely good experiences in applying this key for chanting. I will read it again for you. It's from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who says, "One achieves perfection in chanting the mantra when one keeps the vibrated sound within his heart and controls the materially attached mind." How to do that in one sentence is by simply bringing your attention here to the heart, where you, the real you, the actual you, not the imitation you, exist, and you are then turning to Krishna. If you wish to know more details, please go to the preceding session, which you will find on YouTube. So I really hope that this, applying this key always, the key of the sacred space wisdom, will help you in all the various practices to unlock the door and have a free access to the kingdom of spiritual experience. If you have this process, that Krishna, you are in my heart, I am in your heart, and you connect, then you will touch a live wire of bhakti, and it will inspire and enthuse us. It all starts with attention. From attention, attraction will develop. And from attraction, a deep attachment will come. However, if you don't show attention to your bhakti practices, if you remain distracted by material thoughts and material concerns and anxieties, there will be a disinterest coming up in you. And from this disinterest, a disengagement will develop. Disengagement is something very bad in spiritual practice. When your body is still maybe going through the motions, but actually you have already left the path, because with your mind, with your life, with your concerns, you are not, as we say, with it any longer. You are disengaged. So attention to this simple practice which we introduce is very important. Now, today we will move on. We will discuss how by reading the Bhagavatam and other scriptures, Krishna can manifest in your hearts. I will open the discussion with something that will be both intriguing, but it will be also shaking you up a little bit. You might have to fasten your seatbelts as you listen now. It was in the year 1974. Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture in September on the Bhagavatam 1.8.19. Now, during this lecture, one devotee stood up and went away. Srila Prabhupada's response was extremely strong. Why are they going? They are busy in some other work? Eh? Ugra kama, he said. Without hearing what he will do? Nonsense! Shravanam kirtanam, this is our main business. Shravanam, if you don't hear, what will you do? You will do simply sense gratification. That's all. If we are not interested in hearing and speaking, gradually everything will stop. Unless there's a life of Shravanam Kirtanam, these big, big buildings, temples, will become a burden. Whatever you do will be a burden if you don't have the life of Shravanam Kirtanam. So we must be very alert in Shravanam Kirtanam. Otherwise, all this labor will be futile. This building will be only the nest for the doves and the pigeons. That's the danger. Let us patiently tolerate the sharpness in Prabhupada's words and think deeply what he wants to say to us. He wants to say, if you're not enlivened by the processes of bhakti, shravanam and kirtanam, you will actually lose the perspective. You will lose the enthusiasm. You will lose your grip and you will fall into a material concept of life. Especially the shravanam kirtanam should be applied to the Bhagavatam. That's our subject, Bhagavat Shravan. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the Srimad Bhagavatam? Most probably you will say, Maharaj, it's a book, it's printed. Not in the words and the concept of the Bhagavatam. It's a Pratinidhi Rupam. That's a Sanskrit word. It means a representative form of God in this world. When Krishna left the planet Earth after he had taken his avatar, Kali was waiting outside of the atmosphere of the earth, because as long as Krishna would be still in the atmosphere, he couldn't enter. Only when Krishna had left far enough, Did Kali enter into the world? And Krishna looked back and he felt, ooh, trouble is coming for the residents of planet Earth. And at that time, a form manifested from him. It's a representative form. It's the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam's own word, Krishna Svadhamo Pagate Dharma Gyanaribi Saha Kalo Nashta Drishamesha Purana Kodinodita. This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun and has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode. Krishna had gone together with Dharma and knowledge. Now, persons who have lost their vision due to the darkness of this age of Kali shall get light from this sun. They can get light from this Purana. A little further into the text, the Bhagavatam says that as soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within one's heart. The Bhagavad Gita starts as a foundational study. It begins with, you are not the body, you are an eternal spiritual soul, and ends with an appeal. Abandon all other dharmas and surrender unto me. Now the Bhagavatam begins exactly at the point where Krishna left his teachings in the Bhagavad Gita. It starts with rejecting all cheating religions, all other dharmas. Get to the essence of bhakti. It's in the 112, you find it. And it ends also with an appel. I hope that's the right English word. An appel, it says something to us. Chanting the holy names is the means to destroy all sinful reactions. The Bhagavatam picks up exactly where Krishna ends. Krishna has ended in the Gita with, give up all these other religions who don't give you the love for Krishna. And the Bhagavatam says, we will not deal with any cheating religions here. This will be only with the essential message of bhakti. And how will you do this? It ends with chanting the holy names and so on. Then Chaitanya Charitamrita starts. In the very beginning, Adi Lila, the Lord says, I come to teach the process of chanting by practicing it myself. I give you an example. And it ends with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becoming totally overwhelmed and absorbed in love of Godhead throughout the entire day and night. So let us zero in now on the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam which brings us to the essence with each sloka. It says, if you just hear the Bhagavatam, the feeling for loving devotional service sprouts up at once. And it extinguishes the fire of lamentation, shoka, illusion, moha, and fearfulness, being afraid. I have practical experience of this. When I was, I go every year, I should say, for a 1 month retreat to Vrindavan, where I just chant and read. And I had brought a huge box with books with me. But I had a very bad pain in the body, which eventually required surgery to remove it. And when I tried to concentrate on the literature I had brought along, I was not able to do so. The pain had been sometimes so bad that I could only survive by being on my back and going into the shoulder stand. It was really very, very dramatic, I should say. So, in that position, I read the Bhagavatam. It's possible. You just have to know, you know, you can lean your feet against the wall. Other books wouldn't work for me. And my experience was what this verse promises, the fire of lamentation, illusion, and also fearfulness was removed. I felt very blissful. I did not have any longer the thoughts of my paining body. What was there entirely and only was the subjects of the Bhagavatam, because it has this potency. It's a pratiniti rupam, a representative form of the Lord. I think all of you have made these experiences when finally doing what you know you should do, taking the Bhagavatam from the shelf and saying, okay, may the world stop now. I'm reading the Bhagavatam. After a short time, it's almost like coming back to something which gives you the energy, coming back home. You feel a lightness in the heart. You feel new directions and perspectives in the heart. You lose your illusions, which your indecisiveness, and you can move forward with newfound strength. This is a very direct experience. But if you have not yet made the experience by reading Bhagavatam alone, Rupa Goswami gives us a very important instruction. He says, you should taste the meaning of the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees who have a similar taste. Srimad Bhagavatatanam Ashvado Rasikai Saha. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, bring yourself into the association of devotees where there is a Bhagavatam class going on. Listen to the Bhagavatam and relish as the various points are discussed in great detail, with some enthusiasm also. And you will then come to experience this uplifting effect of losing lamentation, illusion, and fear. And there's only one thing which is necessary. You need to listen with rapt attention from a realized soul. The information should be good. I would like to share with you the wisdom of reading with rapt attention or hearing with rapt attention, and then I will give you some clues how you can sharpen your attention, that it becomes like a laser. There is one book, it's called Bhagavad Bhagavat Mahatmyam, the glories of the Bhagavatam. It comes in the Padma Purana. And there the story of the amazing liberation of Dundukari is given. Listen very carefully. Once there lived a very sinful man called Dundukari. He was so obnoxious, even as a child, that his father, Atmadeva, could no longer tolerate to stay with him at home. He was just making such comments, doing such naughty and bad things that Atmadeva felt the atmosphere is poisoned by this Dundukari and went to the forest to give his life entirely to the worship of Krishna. Dundukari was not disturbed that his father left the house. He felt very relieved because now he could attack his mother Dunduli and asked her for her ornaments. He took all the gold which Dunduli was wearing on her anchor belts and sold the gold on the market. Dunduli became so distressed by having to make up with this sinful son of hers that she ran out one evening out of the house and jumped into the well where she broke her neck and died immediately. Dundukari did not feel any regret. He called in 5 prostitutes and lived with them the life of the senses. Finally, his activities became even so intolerable to the prostitutes that they felt, my God, if the king's men come and catch us here with this rascal, that will be very bad. So in the night, they bound Dundukari with ropes to his cot and began to beat him. But the sinful rascal would not die. They were coming with knives, stabbing him. When will you die? But Dundukari was resistant like a gangster. So finally, one prostitute took a piece of wood from the fire and just shoved it into the screaming mouth of Dundukari. And in this way, the rascal died. Due to his bad activities, he could not take a human body again, but was condemned to live the life of a ghost. Dundukari had one brother who had been also absent, like Atmadeva, his father. Dundukari's brother, Gokana, had gone on a long pilgrimage. And after several years, he returned to the house of his parents, only to find it empty with cobwebs. He slept in that house, and in the night, Dundukari, in the form of a ghost, attacked his brother. He took on the form of a ram, the horned one, or the in black magic, the ram is always coming, and changed various forms. But Gokana was not impressed. He kept on chanting his mantras until finally the sorcery stopped, and he saw in a subtle form his brother Dundukari, who said, "Save me, brother, save me. I have become a ghost due to my evil activities. Please save me." Gokana said, "You are a heavy case. I don't know what to do. Let me think about it." In the morning he prayed. Gokana prayed to Suryadev and said, I have this brother who is condemned to be a ghost as a result of his bad activities. What can be done to liberate him? And Suryadev said, there's only one remedy. You must recite the Srimad Bhagavatam to your brother. And when he has heard the Bhagavatam, that will liberate him. Gokarna immediately arranged a Bhagavatam reading in which the entire village took place, and also his brother, who was in the airy body of a ghost, took place. He hid into these bamboo stalks. He was there. And the Bhagavatam was going on, the reading was going on every day. And when it was finally finished, a spacecraft, a Vimana, came from Vaikuntha. It landed, the Vishnu Dutas came out, they touched the bamboo where Dundukari was, and out came a boy with a beautiful physique, a nice garland. And the Vishnu Dutas said, come, it's time for you to go to the worlds where there is no death. At this moment, the entire audience who was there screamed, no! No! He's a bad person. He has stayed in the bamboo to just be able to observe this Bhagavatam reading. We all are good people. We heard the same Bhagavatam. Why can he go and we cannot go? So the Vishnu Dutas gave an amazing answer. They paused to think very deeply, and then they said something which I think will change the life of Dayal Gauranga, Yashoda Dulal, Mahesh Sutaria, Vijay Mehta, and Jan Potemki. Listen very carefully. Here's a little key is now given to you. O Gokarna, said the servants of the Lord, both the village and Dundukari have listened to the same Bhagavatam, but the result is different. The difference is due to the quality of hearing. Although it is true that everyone heard the katha, everyone did not meditate upon it equally. Dundukari the ghost had an urgent need to be delivered. And therefore, he put all his attention to the subjects of the Bhagavatam. He even fasted for 7 days to hear with a totally fixed and attentive mind. And then he meditated upon what he heard with a composed mind. Dundukari had placed all his hopes into the listening of the Bhagavatam, so his attentiveness was on a different level than the attentiveness of all of you. If one does not hear attentively, or lets his mind wander here and there, or nourishes unnecessary doubts, there will be only very little benefit. With this, the transcendental aircraft, with Dundukari inside as a transformed being, took off and left the whole audience, who was just looking at what they had just heard and seen. after everyone had composed themselves a little bit, they came to Gokana and said, can we have a second reading, please? So the next month, another Bhagavatam reading was scheduled. And this time, everyone put their mobile phones aside. There were no mobile phones at that time. Everyone put their do lists aside. Everyone put their worries aside. Everyone put everything else that distracted them aside and just listened with rapt attention. I think you all have heard our Radhanath Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, saying to us that we live in an age with mass distraction weapons. And I see some of you nodding their heads. It's so true. It's so true. We are. What is the secret then? Yes, I have seen it. Dayagaranga shows us his little monster. The little monster. I call it the distraction monster. that is a problem. So many messages, so many WhatsApp, so many, come here, do this, all the time. And always it makes beep, beep, at the most inappropriate times in life. What then is the secret of building a rapt, laser-like attention? Srila Prabhupada talks about this, and I think it's really, really relevant. You can find this in 1344. Maybe Yashoda Dulal, you can type it in. SB 1.3.44 in the purport. The secret of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned here, he says. No one can give rapt attention whose mind is not pure. No one can be pure in mind whose actions are not pure. And no one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. So yes, so you have pure living habits, then you will have pure action habits, then by your mind will be pure, and only in a pure mind, an undisturbed mind, can you give rapt attention to the transcendental subject matter. Only that is possible. Yes, you can see where you can find it. Yashoda Dulal has put it for us in the chat box. Prabhupada continues, but somehow or other, if one hears from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person, in the pages of the Bhagavatam. This is what Suta Goswami says when he addresses the saints in the forest of Naimisharanya. He says, I was there at the first Bhagavatam recital when Shukadev narrated the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, and I heard with rapt attention from that great powerful sage. This rapt attention was something which was there for me in Vrindavan, because as I told you earlier, I had this very painful physical situation And it became clear to me, I must bring my mind to another platform, a spiritual platform, where it is so engaged that the pain loses its power over it. That happens always with the mind. The mind can only hold one subject matter. If you feel limitation in your mind, uncertainty, you must bring another subject to the mind which has power, and that's which has transcendental power, that is the Bhagavatam. But that will only work if you listen with rapt attention. If you don't have rapt attention, then it's in one ear or in through the eyes, and it leaves you again. You lose it again. Another tip is, after you have heard, share it with others. That's what I always do. I read every day in the Bhagavatam, and we here in the in our little ashram by the lake, we meet for the main meal, and then I share with the devotees what I have read, and this is usually very well received. Now, why is the Bhagavatam let me say, if you want the I have to shortcut a little bit because we lost a little time. So how do we really absorb the Bhagavatam? I think this is of great importance. What do you all think? If we could just download the Bhagavatam, absorb it entirely, make it our own, let it scribe, let it leave its letters in our heart and write a new narrative for us in our life, then everything would be very nice. I want to ask you a question. How do you absorb food? You bring it first to the mouth, right? Then you put it in the mouth and chew it so that a pre-digestion can take place. Then you swallow it and it comes down into your stomach, and then only you digest it. The same holds true in getting knowledge. First you hear the knowledge. That's like bringing the food to the mouth. It's good if you hear, but you must now engage with the knowledge. Then you do manananam. You reflect about the knowledge. That's like chewing. You don't just read from without stoppage. No, you have to chew. Have you seen those eaters who eat and then they punish us with their very, very aggressive odor which comes from the lower pipe. They punish us because they have not digested properly. So that you need to also digest the knowledge. You first hear, but then you need to reflect it, engage with it. Then only you can and then you apply it as much as you can. That means you digest it. You own it. You know, wow, this is true. Finally, in Vaishnava circles, what we all do is, when we have some type of knowledge, we pray to Krishna that he helps us, that this knowledge comes to life in our heart. We pray, in other words, for revelation. These are the four stages how you have to engage with the Bhagavatam. Hearing it, reflecting it, applying it in practical life, and praying for revelation. We Hare Krishnas suffer often from indigested knowledge, and we punish each other with the wrong understanding of it. No, we have not totally absorbed it and made it our own. When you do your Bhagavatam reading, you do need to reflect on it. I would like to give you an example of this. The Lord, I'm reading now from Bhagavatam 1-17. Maybe our Yashoda Dulal can be so kind to put it in the chat box. Bhagavatam 1-17. Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantasto Hyabhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. I want to do this reflecting with Prabhupada's purport. I could also do it with the text, but I think it will become more clear what I just said. Here, I'm reading from the second paragraph. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and thus has become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. Now, if I would ask any one of you, what did you just hear? You would say, you mean everything what I heard? Yes, everything. You would be hard-pressed to repeat. Therefore, reflection is important. The first point he makes is when Krishna sees that you are very sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service, and you want to hear about him, then Krishna reciprocates with you and he takes action to bring you back. So I'm hearing just these were three sentences. Then I need to reflect about it. Okay, what did I just hear that? Oh yeah, Krishna responds when he sees my own attitude and my own desire. That's mananam. Okay, in my spiritual life, I can reflect. Do I show Krishna often enough that I'm really sincere, that I want to get admittance to him? I respond. And then I do nididhyasam. I act like this. Okay. Tomorrow, I am meeting so-and-so. Let me try to make that meeting a spiritual level, bring it on the spiritual level. Let me serve that devotee and in this way serve Krishna. And I do it. I do something practical, not just think, but I do something. And then I might feel after some time of practicing this one point, that showing Krishna in my normal activities of service, that I'm really eager to connect with him, then I may see, oh, What can I do alone? I need his mercy. And I pray to Krishna before I go to bed. This is Vandanam. So these four things, you will get it on your on the little summary which I sent you after every class, should be practiced. Shravanam, hearing. Mananam, reflecting. If you don't reflect, my dear people, it goes in through one ear, out through another. With the reflection, it goes like this. In, and then it hits here, and then it goes with the reflection down to your heart. For those who are visually learning, that might be good. Very necessary, this reflection. What is a life worth where you don't reflect about life and about spiritual subject matters? It will just rush by you. And after some time, it will become a stressful life. Reflection and then application of something new which you've learned. Jump out of the box, yes. Dance in kirtan, why not? Like crazy. Yes. Go to some unknown situation. When you go on the New York tube, is it a tube or underground, you say? Bring a Bhagavata, bring a Gita with you, give it to someone. Sell it with profit. do something that where you bring yourself into the zone where you can learn new things, because otherwise you will die in your comfort zone. Good. At the end, I would like to just give you a little Bhagavatam experience. Oh, there's so many things, so little time. I request you to sit down properly. Yes. Dayal Gauranga, you appear to be a little too comfortable, a little bit more, if possible, please forgive me, if possible. Yes. I will now guide you into applying what you just have heard. It will not be very meditative, but just so that you can center yourself a little bit, I request you to take in a few deep breaths. As you breathe in and out, I request you to listen to a verse from the Bhagavatam and then answer to yourself certain questions which I would like to ask you. Questions that help you to apply the digestion process of the Bhagavatam, or the absorption. Absorption is a better word. Shrinvatam svakata krishnam punya shravana kirtana rityantasto yapatrani vidhunoti suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma or Super Soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So Krishna is the benefactor in our heart, and once he notices how we wish to hear his messages, he frees us from our greatest enemy, the material, the desire for material enjoyment. Think about it a little bit. If you wish to have divine help to overcome the unnecessary entanglement in this world, you only should hear a little bit about Krishna. Reflect about it for a moment. Now the third step, Nididhyasan. Think how you could apply that. Turning to Krishna by hearing more about him, and then seeing his help, experiencing his help. He makes you more free for spiritual life by helping you to overcome attachments. What could you do? Thank you. And finally, if you become active to apply this wonderful knowledge, then you could, that is not what we do now because it's a little private, you could pray to Krishna that he helps you. Oh, please help me. Thank you very much. I want to just say to all of you, this is one of my all-time favorite. I sincerely request you to read it in your own reading time and also with this beautiful purport. I made a decision when I read this that I will just hear about Krishna and that I will absorb myself in the knowledge which I have heard. And my dear devotees, I have seen my life developing in ways that are really inconceivable. I know Krishna has made arrangements for me, has helped me to overcome obstacles, illnesses, everything, just because he is the benefactor in the heart and wishes well to, for his devotees who turn to him by developing this urge to read. And I just read, even when I'm sometimes so full with schedule points, and I just read, even if I read in the car when I'm driven to the next engagement, I just read a little and just be with it for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Good. Let us not forget persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the subject matter very seriously will have the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, manifested in their hearts within a short time. The words of the Bhagavatam. So, I've gone a little over time, but not too much. I would be really happy now. Thank you, Yashoda Dulal, for really accompanying us on this journey and always giving the reference. It's very helpful if you read afterwards the references which you find here. Yes, I would now like to see if you have any questions regarding the subject matters. I hope you have questions which allow me to bring all the points which I couldn't say due to the shortage of time. But let us see. Are there any questions?
Yes, Maharaj. So, given we have about 18 minutes, we'll probably get to four questions. We've got a few teed up. I'll start by reading a question that came from Shruti and Mukunda Russell in Chicago. Devotees sometimes draw contradictory conclusions from their digestion of the scriptures. This leads to disagreement on how understandings should be applied. Can you advise on how one can make sure that their digestion of the scriptural message is accurate?
Yes. If you read the Bhagavatam, and there is, let us say, a point where there is disagreement, or a point which is difficult to understand, or which might have different interpretations, you do need to always refer back to the previous acharyas or the previous statements on this. Like Prabhupada may say one thing, and then you have to go back to see how he generally covers the subject matter. And then you will see that outstanding statement which you have just read, you will see it in relationship to the previous statements and understand it not out of context, but in the context. Another way to understand is there is the guru. In our case, we have Prabhupada and his followers, guru, sadhu, those who are a little realized, who can help us to make sense of Shastra. The Shastra, the scripture, doesn't come isolated from a living body, because the Shastra teaches passively. You know, you don't find the Bhagavatam getting up and talking to you like this and say, "This is very important." No, it's there. It's lying there. The text is lying there. It teaches passively. But the guru and the sadhus, they teach actively. Now, the last thing I want to say . There are always various aspects to a subject matter. And therefore, if you look from one perspective, it looks like this. If you look from another perspective, it looks like that. Now, most of the disagreements are only disagreements because they're different perspectives, or and attach to the different perspective a different language game. We all use language and it's a game. It's a which has different rules, which are set up by conventions and so on. And someone may use another language game. Here, there are different rules and so on. So let us not try to... I have learned to live with contradictions because this life is a contradiction. I'm eternal and yet I have to die. That is a big contradiction. I'm eternal. There is no death. Yet there is death. And the two things make only sense from various perspectives. When I say I'm eternal, it's right if I look from the spiritual perspective. If I say I have to die, it's also right because I look from the perspective of the body. So, yes. Maybe my answer is a little bit tangled, but to make it very clear, I want to say the Shastra comes in a context of guru and sadhus. So when we can't understand it immediately, or if there's disagreement, let us refer back to the guru and the sadhu who teach actively. And the second thing is, let us not be so disturbed when there are different statements. They are true most properly if they are, sometimes they are also wrong, but often statements are true because they are spoken from various perspectives with various language games. You know what I always have observed? I was at a young age very interesting to jump into difficult discussions. Very interesting. You know, we Germans have a big mouth. Maybe you have noticed this in me also. Nowadays, I'm tired of concepts. I do not discuss any longer controversial things because I've seen, yes, if you would look from this perspective, you would understand, but you don't want to look from this perspective. So, it is your decision. Good. Next question.
Maharaj, next question comes from Surabhi. Surabhi, can you unmute yourself and ask the question, please? And after that will be Diksha Ahuja.
Yeah.
Surabhi is muted. Can you unmute her?
She should be able to unmute herself. Can you unmute yourself?
Yes.
So thank you so much, Maharaj, for such a wonderful class. I wanted to ask you, I feel like I don't have enough time to reflect on each verse. Like, Prabhupada has left so much treasure and so much knowledge for us to receive and to read. I feel very anxious to finish Srimad Bhagavatam and not really to mananam, to reflect on all of it. So I wanted to ask you, how can I stop being so anxious to finish Srimad Bhagavatam and instead be more anxious to hear, like Dundukari? How can I get that urgent need to hear?
Thank you. Thank you very much. From your... I can see that you are a very young person, and that is very good. And young people are young people. Let them be young people. I can... But let me ask you the question. Bhagavatam will be a book that you will read for the rest of your life. Really? You will finish one time going through it, then you will go a second time through it, and you will make very nice realizations the second time. You will go the third time, and wow, you will see such a wealth of knowledge. So you will go not in a linear way, start and finished. That's not the idea of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is like a friend There's no finished in a friendship. So you go, so where is the hurry? Where is the hurry? There may be some books where there is a hurry. Your mathematic book for the university, you have to finish that. Or if you read something which you need to know to reproduce it, and so on. But in the Bhagavatam, you should not feel the hurry. You can stay with the Bhagavatam. You should not, read the Bhagavatam and then from time to time go to the back of the book. Oh, how many pages are still left? Oh no, I'm not making any progress here. It's not about this. It's something else altogether. So I recommend the following method for you. Please take note. First of all, make it a regular daily practice. Then you will become much more peaceful. Then find a peaceful time in you and a place. And then, when you read, let life stop before your door. Switch your mobile telephone on automatic message. I'm reading the Bhagavatam. Or whatever you want to write in there. Then let go of your thoughts, and so on. And then tell yourself, I'm now going to read the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a devotional service, one of the five very powerful devotional services for the pleasure of the Lord. And then you offer this prayer to the Lord. My dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for such a long time in this material world, today I'm turning to you. I wish to offer this reading of the Bhagavatam to you. And then please accept me. Please accept me. Before you start, it's also good to chant the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam and Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. I think our Yashoda Dulal can give the reference. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, then Narayanam Namaskrityam and then Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. It will come. That is necessary. Finishing the book, that is for other books, but not for the Bhagavatam. You will anyways never finish. It will always be with you. This is an eternal scripture. It is a spiritual scripture. Thank you.
Maharaj, next up is Diksha Ahuja Doyal, if you can unmute her. And while he's doing that, there was a question from someone where these handouts and the summaries that you mentioned are posted. So they are posted in the Deepening Bhakti group of Sachinandan Swami's Facebook page. And I'll post the reference shortly.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my respectful obeisances. Angaris Krishna Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for helping us with reading Srimad Bhagavatam by giving us these steps. Maharaj, I would like to ask the question that when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, should we go through other books like Chaitanya Charitamrit and Bhagavad Gita? Like, if we read so many texts, it becomes very difficult to digest, but at the same time, I feel the urgency to read Chaitanya Charitamrita because it brings many nectar pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, would you please elaborate on this?
Mm-hmm. Yes. About reading other books, in general, I would recommend you to have some Bhagavatam every day, because in Kali Yuga, that's the work where Krishna is fully present. Padma Purana says that the place where the Bhagavatam is regularly read becomes a holy place, a place of pilgrimage, and it says we should, what was it? If we can't read so much, then read at least one verse. If you can't read a verse, read half a verse. So you can see by these recommendations that the scriptures are very insistent on reading the Bhagavatam. So I would recommend you to make that a daily affair and read for a manageable amount of time. Let us say I read three verses of Bhagavatam. When there is a big purport, when there is a small purport, I read more. But I read every day a certain manageable time, and then I add other literature, sacred literature, according to interest and to attraction, what I feel attracted at this stage of my devotional life. When I feel attracted to read something, that means there is a resonance between me and that scripture, which should not be undervalued. So if you at this moment feel an attraction to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, very good, follow that attraction. See that every day you can have a little Bhagavatam. It's almost like in your meals, you always have a little rice, at least if you come from Bengal. Bengalis have, you are from Delhi, so it means some chapati must always be there in the diet. So then other things, but some chapati is really, it's called a staple diet, I think, something which must be there. That is the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Good. We come to the last question, I believe.
Yes, Maharaj. So this is from Lebja Sheila. She asks, if a devotee winds up disengaged due to distractions, how does he or she go back up and get engaged and enthusiastic again?
Yeah. I meet so many disengaged devotees. The other day I met a bank director who was in some ashram before. Some, was it in Australia, in Sydney, or I forgot. And he said, I have become disengaged, and now there are so many things in my mind which I wish I don't have, so many experiences which I wish I don't have, so many distraction, and I'm bound in my life. What can I do to come back? And I said to him what I usually say nowadays. You must know the three... I learned I have to draw this better. Can I have a pen? because if I say it, it's not the right way to say. You must know what this is. There are three of these. Philosophy, people, and practice. That will bring you back on the course. You have to understand why you do Krishna consciousness, the philosophy. You have to talk with people who are enlivened, who are enthusiastic, who have an experience. And then you have to finally eat. That is, come to the practice yourself, which will for sure nourish you. As far as engaging with the Bhagavatam, there are also three beautiful rules which you will, how the Bhagavatam comes alive in your life. You must read with faith. Yes, that this is true. It comes from a different level, a different perspective. I, with my perspective, may not understand everything. There are higher perspectives. You must read with faith. You must read regularly. And you must make some effort. Bring yourself out of the comfort zone. Come to the Bhagavatam every day. You will be rewarded higher than any other, than even the whole Wall Street with all its beneficial, how is it called, Aktien, you know, with all its money. It cannot compensate you so much. With faith, at least a theoretical faith, I may not understand it, but I will regularly and with a special effort. Special effort means you must remain focused while you do this. Rapt attention is a special effort. If you want to read this verse where this is discussed, it is in the second canto, 8th chapter, verse number 4. I see Yashoda Dulal is already typing it in for everyone. There the three rules for reading Bhagavatam are given. My dear devotees, I thank you very, very much. I was a little bit afraid that with the technical disturbance in the beginning, we would maybe not be able to cover everything, but by the mercy of Bhagavatam, we could cover, well, how can you say everything? We have not yet started, but something. And I really want to leave you with one request. Please, every one of you, read daily something from the Bhagavatam. I recommend you read in a successive way. Start from the beginning and then verse after verse. That is my humble request for all of you. It will give you a very good understanding. What I also want to recommend is I will ask Gaur Krishna to bring this book, Unveiling His Lotus Feet. It's a study guide which Burijan Prabhu has presented. Yes, it's there. Has presented, and it really helps you to get to understand and make everything intelligible. It's called, it's here for you, Unveiling His Lotus Feet. I think you will be able to find it on the internet. If not, you can just ask your temple and they can get it. This really has helped me very, very much to understand the Bhagavatam. This book has from first canto to fourth canto, including the fourth canto. So I read the Bhagavatam, the verses, and then I go to this, Unveiling the Lotus Feet, and read how he just summarizes and connects and makes the links to other philosophical point. It stays with the text. It's very faithful to the text. And that is my humble request. You should experience it yourself. And with the key, not without the key. The key is that you turn to Krishna as you start your reading and request him also. We will put these, please notice on my Facebook, there will be this, how do you say that, that sheet, how you can practice reading the Bhagavatam. It will be there for you so that you can gain maximum effort. And please, in 1 week I will see you again, and then I might test you. And it would be so embarrassing for you if you all fail the test. So you need to read every day, anywhere in the Bhagavatam. Anyways, I should refrain from these German motivation tricks. I won't test you. You are good devotees, good people, and we don't need tests. Life is already such a test in itself, but I request you nevertheless to read this. I will say now thank you very much and turn to our hosts who will give us some framing most properly. So Hari Bol and all the best, and thank you for being with us.